Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Go Up Podcast Edition,
where we explore the mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven.
We're your hosts. I'm Dean.
And I'm Caritas.
And Caritas, Today, as we release this podcast, it is Easter Sunday.
Yay!
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Such an amazing time of the year. I think out of all the holidays, I love what Easter stands for the most.
It's a big one.
It is.
I think it kind of gets like a second tier to Christmas usually, but
true.
It's kind of like the Christian story.
It is.
You know?
It's the beginning of all things and it's the end of all things. Mm-hmm. It's the most amazing story of love, and it reaches so far back and it reaches so far forward. So if today's podcast is encouraging to you, consider hitting like and or subscribe.
Or the notification bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
An Easter notification.
Yeah. Will the bell look like some kind of egg or something?
No, I think it's just still a bell, unless Google changes it.
Yeah.
And our website, Caritas, it's growing every week.
It's pretty snazzy. And if you didn't notice, our theme song has changed. Is that what it's called? A theme song?
Yes.
After the 1 year, you know.
New year, new music.
New year, new sound.
Mix it up.
Ooh, yes. So on our website, there are some glorious finds, such as little links to all the links.
Yep. Links to the links
to the YouTube and the Spotify. You can tell how old I am. I call it the YouTube.
The YouTube.
You want to hear something hilarious about my age? Haley's looking at me the other day and she's like, Mom, I was looking in this photo album and you look a lot older than the picture I was looking at. You look like 3 years older. So I go to this photo album. It's like a 12 or 15 year old photo. So I'm like, heyo, 3 years older. I'm not doing too bad.
Well, that's good. If she only thinks you're 3 years older than a 15 year old picture.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I am on fire here.
On fire. That's right.
What's my secret? Lack of sleep, dehydration. Oh, no, see, this is the spirit gives life to your mortal bodies.
Right.
Boom, right there. Evidence now. Yeah.
Bam.
I am all the proof you need.
That's great. And we're actually going to bring that verse up here in a little while.
Okay. Yeah, and more serious.
It doesn't have to be serious.
It's never really that
we're serious. Never really serious, are we? Greatest, I'm really interested to know what Easter was like in Iceland.
This is like kindergarten and prior.
But I'm thinking, though, that that's a time when a kid is really impressionable. Mm. And that's when Easter would really mean something to them.
Yeah, I was super impressionable. Okay, I believed hard in the Easter Bunny and Santa. Like
hardcore?
Hardcore, okay. My parents went all out. So it was like clues left behind. Like I had evidence. Tangible evidence that these things existed.
What kind of clues?
Like a piece of red fabric caught on the fireplace door at Christmas.
Really?
You know, he tore his coat. A reindeer bell in the snow. The creaking, cracking of the footsteps at 2 a.m. Spoiler alert, you might want to get the children out of the room. When I found out that these guys didn't exist, it was like, what? The Easter Bunny ate the carrots, but very bunny-ish, like very messy.
Okay.
So I'm like now imagining like, what do my parents do? Just like hack through the carrot with their teeth and spit it all over the counter? Probably.
Amazing. They did go to a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. They were very creative, imaginative. When we'd have like spirit weeks or whatever in high school and it was dress up day, red and blue day, for example, because those were the school colors of the high school I went to. Most people wear like a red t-shirt or blue pants. Half our face was red. Half our face was painted blue. Blue curly wig, like hardcore.
With everything you've got.
Yeah. Give it 110%.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't super cool, but it was fun. But the Easter, you know, we'd make like paper mache eggs out of a balloon. So a huge egg. As big as you can get that balloon is as much candy as you're going to get in this egg. So you're going to want to blow it up. So it kind of takes a week to make the egg. So I remember that.
Would you break it then?
You just destroy it.
You destroy
it. Worth it. All that delicious goodness inside. Anyways, how was your Easter childhood, Dean?
My Easter memories, very Christianese.
Christianese, yeah.
Good Friday service, Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably end up getting a chocolate Easter bunny. It was just a family time, long weekend. Actually, I have a lot of ice fishing memories.
Oh,
Easter time.
Right.
It was still cold. The lakes were still frozen. Mm-hmm. Families would get together and that's what we would do. Snow sports.
Did you ever fall in the ice?
No.
Okay, that's good because you spent a lot of time on ice.
I can tell you a story though. I don't know if this happened at Easter or not, but it could have. All right.
Okay. So it's kind of related.
Kind of. All right.
What we're talking about.
So my dad was a bit of a daredevil. Mm-hmm. And we've already talked about the school bus.
Yes.
So he would take the school bus and he would drive onto the lake with the school bus.
It's so long, it spreads the weight out so evenly, right?
Well, you know what? If the ice is a couple of feet thick, you can drive on it with just about anything.
Okay.
I remember going all the way across the lake over to the fishing spot. Yeah, all the way across. And we would park on the ice and be there all night. But this one time, the ice wasn't quite as frozen yet.
Before you drive the bus out there, does someone hack a hole through the ice and measure how?
Yeah, you can drive on just a little ways and you can drill a hole. I think in the springtime, it was the most scary because the first thing that starts to happen when ice starts to get soft, water starts to appear on top of the ice. It could still be 2 feet thick, but there's a layer of water on top of it. Mm-hmm. And then at night that will freeze and in the day it'll thaw again. But I remember one time staying on the ice, we got up in the morning and we went out of the bus and looked and there was like an indent. Like you could actually see the bus was sitting in an indent in the ice.
Oh my goodness. You're like, okay, so no more ice bus trips this season.
Yeah, I think this might be the last one for the year.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had chains on the tires, so we just drove out.
Yeah.
Still, the thought that you were sitting down in a depression on the ice. The great thing about it was we would clear with our snow shovels a big area because we always played hockey. If we cleared an area right beside the bus, and then if we drilled a hole right beside the bus, the weight of the bus would push the water up and it would flood the ice rink with this beautiful, smooth water.
Wow.
It's like having a Zamboni on the ice on the lake.
Sounds a little crazy, but you know, you lived.
We did.
Wow.
And so those are my Easter memories.
Very unusually entertaining.
Yeah, I suppose. I spend a lot of time working in churches and dozens of Easter productions.
Dozens of Easter productions, yep.
Big, massive, spectacular shows that we put on, yeah. For some reason, everybody thought that the church was supposed to do a big musical production at Christmas and one to match at Easter.
Okay. I'm exhausted, but it was spectacular.
You'd start planning for Christmas in April. As soon as Easter was over, you were having Christmas production meetings. Man. So it never went away.
Mm. Easter is like the all in all where everything changed. Mm. Things got weird, right? You're no longer human.
You start talking like that, you're going to get me like whacked out here on the glory pretty soon.
Okay, I heard one guy saying the other day, you're not like an atheist who became a Christian. You were an atheist and you became a completely new creature. It's not a change of religion. It's a complete transformation into a different species.
Yeah.
Like completely, radically changed.
I think the more I go on in life, the more I realize how otherworldly this change was. It's more extreme than I ever thought. You know what, Cretus, I would say in the last 6 months, and I think it has something to do with the fact that we're talking about it every week, but it seems like every single day, the new birth and the reality of the resurrection and the new life that we've been given seems bigger to me than it was yesterday. Mm. It's like I can't get to the end of it.
This is the mystery, Dean. The Holy Spirit or God or Jesus will reveal something to you. And you're like, okay, I got it. And they're like, hey, there's so much more. There's always mystery. There's always more. It's always going to feel like that. I think that's the exciting part of this journey with him. It reminds me of, for example, when you're dating someone and you're in the honeymoon phase. We're used to understanding that as being a phase. You're experiencing something new. There's this bliss, this delight, mystery and adventure. Mm-hmm. And then you mature in your relationship and you're now in a more calm place with this person. But with Christ, You never leave the honeymoon phase.
Right.
Because there's always mystery. There's always delight. There's always wonder. You mature and grow, and yet you stay in the honeymoon phase. It's the craziest thing. We're so used to moving through phases, and you stay there in that excited, enraptured, giddy place with him mm-hmm. because he's so mystical. There's so much to him and so many layers that we can never know him as fully as you can know your wife, for example.
Right. To think that there are multiple untold dimensions and a timeless eternity to explore, and knowing that we won't get to the end of this in eternity is more than our human mind can comprehend, right?
Yeah.
The story of Jesus is the great romance of heaven, and what he did on the cross, just unprecedented.
Yeah.
Unequaled anywhere.
Yeah. You know, because I've said this before, that always kind of hung me up when I was younger. Like, okay, so he dies this horrific, just terrible death so that our sins are forgiven. It just was so extreme. But now when you start realizing what actually happened there, when he died, you died. Mm-hmm. When he rose, you rose mm-hmm. into the newness, new creation, completely different, brand new life, it starts making sense. It's like, okay, I can get on page here.
It's an extreme adventure, and it was an extreme act of love that Jesus accomplished. I wanted to share an encounter that I had with the cross.
So we get comfortable now. Now we're entering story time with Dean.
Story time with Dean. Well, okay, this was a dream. How about dream time with Dean?
Oh, Dean's dreams.
Even better. All right. So I dreamt that I was on an island, and the island was full of slaves, and there were some really cruel taskmasters, and they were horribly mistreating the slaves, and they were making them do really extreme labor. And I was looking around and I was freaked out by it because it was such a chaotic, horrible scene. I was thinking, how can I get away from this place? And then I realized that I was also a slave. And I barely realized I was a slave when one of the taskmasters came and started whipping me and making me work. Mm. And my job was to dig in the dirt with my fingers. So I was digging in the dirt, and they were just like, you know, so it was horrible.
Get those little fingers in there.
Yeah.
Digging.
Dig, exactly. Forcing me into slave labor.
That's next level evil, by the way.
Next level evil is what it was.
Poor fingernails.
So the next thing I knew, that scene went away from me. And I found myself right up beside the cross. They had the crosses on the ground. I saw them. Now, this was not like the movie, The Passion of the Christ. It was similar, but it was somehow different. I was the criminal. I was the one that deserved to die. So they grabbed me and they threw me down on the ground and they threw me towards this cross. But then I saw to the corner of my eye somebody coming and stopping everything. And I looked up and it was Jesus. And he was like, let him go. And he went and he took my place.
Wow.
And so everything that happened, it would almost happen to me. And then he would stop and then he would do it. This went on through the entire scene of the crucifixion. Like, I saw those nails that they used. They were like this long and they were thick on one end and they went down to a really skinny point. Yeah. And the thing about it is that this is something I'll never be able to unsee. I don't know if this is too graphic or not.
No, I haven't puked so far. So
he just hasn't puked yet.
Nope.
Okay.
But I also come from love.
You come from a nursing background.
It's like, nope, you haven't even. Graphic, what?
So I remember very clearly Jesus looking at me, and I remember the look of love in his eyes, and they were holding his hand, and the soldier hit the nail down, and he was looking at me when that happened. That look of love, it changed me forever. I can't go back from that.
Mm, wow.
And everything that would happen to him was supposed to happen to me. And I remember the most painful part of it for him was the feet. Then there was a point in time when I couldn't watch anymore and when he actually had to do the rest of it on his own. And I saw that he was doing it all by faith. I realized at that point in time that the love with which Jesus did what he did was otherworldly. Like, there are no words to describe how deeply that affected me. And I also started to look at the cross differently, because I used to feel like it was, you know, me looking up at the cross at Jesus, and Jesus was on the cross. But in this experience, it was always me with him or me in him. Mm-hmm. And he would take my place. And I started to realize that Jesus carried me and that his death was my death. And I experienced this all firsthand. I no longer look at the cross from a standpoint of me looking at the cross. I now look at the cross from the standpoint of me being on the cross with him, looking down through his eyes, because he carried us in his heart the entire way.
Wow.
So that perspective shift for me was huge. Since then, I've never been able to look at the cross the same. That's what he did to take us out of that slavery.
Wow.
And that oppression. That was my encounter. Was
one of the Dean dreams.
One of the Dean dreams, wow. Yeah. There are a lot of dreams and a lot of different encounters, but that was a life-shaping one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have those all the time.
Yeah, that one sounds like it would even change just your interactions with people and how you respond to people. Because when you're standing there as the one who was meant for that nail,
mm-hmm.
and he just takes it, not like, look what you made me do, but I love you. Just the tone shift, no shame, puts his hand in place of your hand.
Yeah.
When you see how Jesus was never offended by anybody, grumpy towards anybody or, you know, right. hurt feelings, you see that, like, why you can live that way.
Mm-hmm.
When you least deserved it, there was Jesus. So when someone least deserves your mercy, it's not like, oh, I'm a Christian, I should be merciful. It's like, no, I've seen the look in his eye when he took that from me.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to not live this way?
Yeah, like I said, it's something that I'll never be able to unsee.
Yeah.
I started realizing that when Jesus talked in John, you know, mm-hmm. Father, make us one. And then he started using language like them in me, I in them.
Yeah.
That's where it all started. It all started there when he was praying to the Father just before he went to the cross. And he was praying that the Father would put us all in his heart, make us one with him.
Yeah.
That's when the idea of this union, this mystical union of Christ carrying his bride in his heart.
What a wild, wild thing. Like, they knew from the beginning of time this wild story,
mm-hmm.
how it was going to unravel, and the desire to do that remained.
Yeah. And he took us all and he made us all one, as if we were the only one, but all of us together, each individually, but all corporately,
mm-hmm.
both.
Yeah. Wow. I love that.
And now we are one with him. He is in us and we are in him.
Yeah.
And so I would like to know, what is your favorite resurrection scripture?
Okay, listen, it's hard to pick a favorite resurrection scripture, especially if you go through Romans. You were just saying this before we started. You're more the gospel guy and I'm more the Paul guy.
Yeah, there you go. Or the Paul girl.
Or the Paul girl. But there is neither male nor female in That's Christ, true. Dean.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, no, there are so many here.
You were just saying before podcast started, Romans is like the Easter book from beginning to end.
Yeah, Romans is Easter on steroids. Easter on steroids.
I got to find a sound effect for steroids. I was looking, actually, trying to find something appropriate.
Some like Arnold noise or something.
I looked and I couldn't find anything that worked. One of these days, we're going to come up with it. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Okay, Romans 8.
Oh, I think I know which one you're going to. I love this verse.
I'll just say a random Romans 8, like, four. I won't be stupid because of future Dean who has to edit this. I'm sorry, future
Thank
Dean.
Thank you for considering the future Dean.
Future Dean is the dean of my future. He edits out all my long pauses and my blank stares and my sentences that don't make sense.
He also edits out his own blank stares and long pauses.
Yeah. Yeah. So I try to be considered a future dean.
Thank you.
But I forget sometimes.
Like, we all forget.
Like now. Romans 8. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, this sounds Eastery.
You're getting me very excited right
now. The spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you.
Which he does.
Okay. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Full circle here to my story of how I'm only 3 years older.
Right.
He will give life to your mortal bodies. Wow.
Obviously, that's what's been happening with you. Your daughter noticed it in the picture.
You know, One thing I love about this section here in Romans 8 is I find Romans 7, what I've experienced is it confuses a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They read that and they think, this is me. See, this is why we always struggle with sin. This is what Paul's saying here. We're always going to be caught in the cycle of brokenness and sin, right? After he goes on this list, like, you know, I try not to sin and I sin. I try to do what's right and I can't and blah, blah, blah. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then Romans 8, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit now, if indeed the spirit dwells in you.
Yeah, because you see, all of Romans 7 was talking about an old creation person.
Yeah.
But now we're in the new creation.
We're in the new creation.
Everything has changed.
We're a new creature, Dean.
We do not struggle with sin like that anymore.
Yeah. Why are you talking like a mere human? This is why I like Paul. He'd say things that were just, I don't know, I find them funny the way he words it.
That's an amazing verse. I've gone back to that verse so many times.
Yeah.
It obviously hasn't worked for me like it's worked for you. But I still love it. And I'm starting to realize that the extreme version of the new creation life where we sync up with heaven, you know, that resurrection life, when it hits us and when it, you know, invades us, it does so many things. There's so much more to that verse. There's so many layers to it.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Okay.
There's so many dimensions.
There was this word. I wrote it down.
Cretus, you have a new book.
I have a new book. Yes, it fell on my lap. The Books of Enoch.
Ooh.
Ooh. Because, you know, Enoch's mentioned in here a few times. And I'm like, who is this dude who just walked so close to the Lord that was just taken up one day?
Okay. You know what's going to happen, right?
We're going to talk about Enoch.
Yeah.
I get that he wrote this a long, long time before Jesus. So I'm going to read it through the lens of Jesus. Okay. So this word I'm looking up here, it's coming to me. I didn't write it down. I saved it in my computer. Sod. Have you heard this word? It's an old Jewish word that means secret, hidden, or mystical meaning of a passage in the Torah or other sacred text. Mm. So the sod was the layers of the word. So there's something very obvious that you first read and you're like, wow, okay. And you get it. But the sod is then the next layer of meaning and then another layer of meaning. Mm-hmm. And some of them had multiple sods.
Oh yeah.
S-O-D or sod, Hebrew word for a secret place.
Wow. Okay.
In the word.
I didn't know that there was a Hebrew word for that. I mean, I've been saying for years that every verse has multiple layers to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, of course, you know, the reader layer, there's the layer of redemption, mm-hmm. prophetic layer, there's a mystical layer, mm. you know, there's a theological layer, all kinds of different layers. It does say in the book of Revelation that the word of God, the sound of it is like the sound of many waters.
Mm.
Many waters infers that there are a lot of different voices speaking at the same time and a lot of different layers, right? Yeah. But this verse that you just read is full of multiple layers.
Multiple layers. And this is where when he says, just chillax, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
The Cretus translation. Just chillax. Don't get overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Be open to receive multiple layers of understanding mm-hmm. on this. And that's a big part of it. It's not just always believing a verse means what you always thought it meant. There could be more.
Yeah.
Okay, Dean, are you going to read one of your Easter ones?
I am.
Okay.
I'm going to read one from Romans as well. I love this verse, and it's just coming alive to me lately in a brand new way. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, mm-hmm. how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life.
Oh, man.
Through one Jesus Christ.
Yes. This verse, it's just like chicken scratch in my Bible because I've like circled and underlined like how much more who receive circle will reign in life. Like these words just start jumping off the page, right? You receive, you will reign in life.
That phrase, reign in life, has been catching me because I think part of what Jesus did on the cross was he redeemed us into governance.
Redeemed us into governance.
Yes.
All right.
He took back the authority. He took the keys of death. He brought us into life, but he brought us way up higher. He brought us into a place where we reign through grace. So this invisible force of grace coming on our life, lifting us up above a place where we are bound by sin, lifting us above that into a place where we can be free.
Oh, yes.
And where we can live the new creation life.
We are the kings that he is king of.
Yeah.
King of kings. Who are these kings?
He's given us a kingship. and he's given us a place of reigning. And what does it mean to reign? It means to govern. The question is, what are we governing?
Good question, Dean. What are we governing?
We are governing creation. We're bringing the governance of the kingdom of heaven because we're going into heaven. We are seated in heavenly places and we're seated in the courts of heaven and we're receiving those verdicts and we're bringing them and we're enforcing them on the earth.
See, and creation knows that this is what it's meant to happen. Creation yearns in eager expectation for this. It's like, come on, guys.
Yes, it does. So governing. So what do you think Jesus was doing when he spoke to the storm and said, peace?
Mm-hmm.
He was governing. Everywhere that he went, Jesus modeled governance.
Yeah.
There was never a situation that he didn't govern.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are now born into that governance.
Yeah, like I believe Adam and Eve had that kind of governance.
They did have it.
In the garden, right? Yes. You know, go forth and multiply and name the animals and do your thing. It was just this blissful, peaceful, easy leadership role in love. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I see Blake down by the door. So I go down there and he's standing there doing something at the window, tapping it. We have a window beside our front door.
Mm-hmm.
He's tapping it over and over and he's kind of making some noises and he's playing something. And I go down there and there's this little red-bellied finch sitting on the railing, just this wild bird. And it's hopping towards him and going to the glass and then hopping back. And they were playing. He's just playing with this wild bird. And I'm just looking at this for a while before I even think. I eventually took out my phone and took a video. But for a while, I was just looking at this, waiting for this wild bird to get scared and fly away. Nope, it was playing with this human. And I was like, this is the normal life that God created us to live.
Mm-hmm.
This is normal for us to be able to play with wild animals, be at peace and one with nature, governance.
In the midst of all that, of the playfulness and the joy, let the love of heaven flow through us because our world needs to be loved.
Yep.
And everything in it needs to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
The people need to be loved and that bird needs to be loved.
Mm.
Everything about governance is about love. Jesus baptized us into governance.
Wow.
Through his baptism of the cross, which we were a part of.
You know, this verse you read, this part that really jumps out at me, how many words is that? It's like hardly any. How can so little words speak so much? But he says, if by one man's offense, death reigned.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam kind of messed up a little bit there. Death reigns. So you're thinking how much more? One man's offense, and then you have one man's love, mm-hmm. one man's sacrifice, Jesus. So you've got Adam and then the new Adam, or the second Adam, they call them, right?
Yep.
How much more did what the second Adam do change everything? We have so much faith in what the first Adam did. We hold on to the brokenness and we hold on to the fall and all the things that happened. But how much more did the second Adam change things, completely twist the plot?
Yeah.
So much more, Dean.
Yeah, because oftentimes people, they ask the big questions, you know, what is this all about? I think Jesus made it pretty clear when he was here that this is about the kingdom of heaven and the expansion of the kingdom of heaven. You know, it doesn't really matter what happens on this earth. It's irrelevant to the kingdom of heaven expanding and having dominion wherever it goes.
Yeah. It takes the power out of situations and circumstances and like curveballs that can happen in life when you realize this. You won't lose your footing when something goes awry or you hear all this bad news or something happens in your country or in your own individual life. When you get this, the meaning of life.
That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, it'll all come into place. When you have a kingdom and you have a king, the purpose of the king and the kingdom is to govern.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants a king like Jesus and a kingdom like the kingdom of heaven. We're born into a kingdom and we're given a place where we can reign.
Ooh,
we have part of that governance residing inside of us because we're one with him.
Wow.
So to me, this is all about government. This is about the kingdom.
Mm.
And that is the meaning of life. The increase of his government, there will be no end.
Hallelujah. That's Isaiah, right?
Yeah.
See, we're tying in Christmas scriptures here. Isn't that one always used for Christmas? It's an Easter one.
I'm going to repurpose it.
Repurpose it for Easter here. For unto us a child is born. Okay, so we get caught up there and we're like, it's a Christmas verse.
No.
But he grew up, okay? The governance will be on his shoulder.
There you go.
And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's incredible. So with this perspective, nothing in life could dictate how we are, or what we're doing, or how we're doing. It's the perspective of reigning in life. A king isn't swayed to and fro by the little things that are happening. He's just steady and knows his role.
I think there's something we have to keep in mind when it comes to reigning. It's not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of the kingdom. I think a lot of times, you know, we have all these personal circumstances in our life. We want to have control over them.
So if we're reigning in life, my life is put together. Yes. Everything's working fine, totally healthy. Everyone loves me. There's no conflict.
Perfect.
I have a roof over my head and food in my belly. I'm reigning in life.
But you cannot use the governance of the kingdom for your own agenda. The governance of the kingdom carries its own agenda. And it's the agenda of the king.
So you can be raised in a country where following Jesus is illegal, where you have no freedoms in that country or no rights. You can be hungry, you can be in a war zone, and you can still be reigning. None of those things change your mandate to reign.
None of those things change the agenda of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And if you're born from above, then you carry the mantle of the kingdom of heaven on you, and you will be releasing that wherever you go, in whatever circumstance you're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
On behalf of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So does heaven care about us personally? Absolutely. But heaven has its own agenda. We don't get to use it as we want.
That's a big key in freedom and following him, is realizing that whole deny yourself, follow me, you know?
There you go.
You can't love your life more than me and be worthy of this. It's way bigger than just us. Mm-hmm. And that's what a king knows. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So I was thinking, the abundance of grace, it's not just a little bit of grace. You know, people will say, oh, you're a little too grace heavy, you're teaching a little too much grace. But the abundance of grace, like reigning grace.
Reigning grace, Caritas. Mic drop. That was loud.
That was intense.
Yeah. It actually landed on its end.
Yeah. Now, if it stopped there, that would be pretty epic. It would deserve a mic drop on its own. Grace and transformation. I see those two words together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and transformation. I don't think they exist apart from one another. Maybe if grace is talked about outside of transformation, it creates that weird kind of offense or fear around the word because, well, they have grace, but then they keep doing this and this. And
people who have that kind of an argument don't understand what grace is.
Yeah.
But you're right. Grace and transformation. I'm going to use a word. They're entangled.
Oh, you know, that reminds me. I heard the song Laura C. I don't know her last name.
Yes.
She has a song called Entangled.
Yes.
I am entangled.
Guess what?
It's all sounds and frequencies and vibrations. And
so guess what we're going to do our next podcast on?
What? Laura? We don't know you, but
we're going to call it entanglement.
Entanglement.
Yeah.
So next week, entanglement, unless of course the Holy Spirit changes the topic last minute, which he tends to do.
He can, yeah.
He tends to do that. Okay, guys, actually, we're going to talk about this. This is huge, Dean.
Yeah.
Wow.
A couple of verses down in Romans 6, there are some other great.
We could just start at Romans 1 and read the entire book.
We'd be like, where are people tuning out?
Okay, people, we encourage you on your own time to go through Romans. With an open heart, I like reading the word and just being open and blank, not even coming in with any of my preconceived ideas and just being like, hey, Holy Spirit, what are we going to discover? What is in here today? The sod, the layers. It's exciting, I find. How can you read a book over and over every day and never get sick of it?
No other book has sods like the Bible.
Yeah. Okay.
Romans 6, 4. Caritas, this is classic.
She's a beaut.
Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death.
Or buried, as some people say.
Buried or buried?
Buried is actually how it's spelt. I say buried, like a berry.
Okay. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life.
Yes, I love that. Just as.
Read on. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Yeah, wow.
We are in the likeness of his resurrection.
Oh, my word. So when Jesus died, we died.
Yep.
When he was buried, we were buried. What else does it say here, basically? When he rose from the dead, we rose in the newness of life. No longer with that old life, that old nature, the old mindset, but new.
Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. He who has died is free from sin.
Brand spanking new, Dean. Wow.
We've been crucified with him. Nevertheless, we live. These verses are next level.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You're right. We could read the entire book of Romans. It is mind-blowing, all of it.
Yeah, I think a big part of the Easter story that's changed for me over the years is the understanding of the why he even did that. Mm. That was a big question growing up for me. Why? Why? So extreme. Like, thank you, but why? Understanding even what really happened, going through Romans here and going through the Word and spending time in his presence and just asking him, what actually happened?
So what did happen on the cross? What rocks me about the cross is that Jesus carried his bride. He died for a bride.
Yeah, and he gave us this brand new lease on life.
Yes, because he's taking his bride now into his world. You know how when you bring your girl home to meet the parents? Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus is doing that with us. Yeah.
In Galatians, this is a good one. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, conservative or liberal, American or Canadian. You are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Whew.
Then one of my favorites, Colossians 3:3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is,
seated at
the right hand of God.
Yes.
That's what we're supposed to seek. Set your mind on the things above, not things that are on the earth. So set your mind on heaven.
Mm-hmm.
For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Whew.
So there we go. Once again, we died with him.
Wow.
We were buried with him.
Buried. Yes. A little further down, you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We have acquired new creation life. So anything telling us otherwise is a lie.
Well said.
Yeah.
That was the hammer.
The hammer.
The hammer just went down, people.
That's it.
It's time to sign off this podcast here. Rita has spoken her last word. Bam.
Let it be said. Bam.
Okay. I don't know what we've done today, Kretus, but I love talking about the resurrection. I love talking about the cross. It was such a radical move on heaven's part.
Oh, and man.
We'll be discovering the layers and depths of it for eternity.
Yes. Don't you find it so exciting to be alive in a time like this on this side of the cross?
Yeah.
We would have been okay before that as well, I'm sure. But it is pretty awesome. I'm just so grateful that we're alive in a time like this.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did.
Yeah.
Thank you for carrying us in your heart and for making us brand spanking new, as Greta says.
Brand spanking new.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as we have, and we have enjoyed it.
Yeah. And have a very happy Easter.
Yes. See you next week, everyone. Bye. Cue the new music.